It has been in worship.
The Lord's really what?
Praise the Lord. The Lord's really challenged us, to, as Danny was speaking about stretching ourselves. And there are many different levels. And coaching for 40 years, and I coached divers, and we start out at the 1 meter, and then the 3 meter, and the 5 meter, and the 7 meter, and the 10 meter. And the Lord's trying to take us to different places. But it's a process. And to identify exactly where you at, the Lord was giving me this today, and I wanted to share it. And it's about David. And there was a time in David's life after he was anointed to be king and Saul was pursuing him, that he ended up in the cave of Adullam. And I think many times the body of Christ right now is in that cave. It's a place of seclusion. And in a place of seclusion, Adullam, it's you developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it's in that place, in that relationship with the Holy Spirit, that he takes you to places that you've never been before. And the place of seclusion is also a place of development. It's a place of hardship. And so we're entering into those times when things might be hard and you feel secluded, but if we're being developed, we're being prepared for a future event. A future event, the return of Jesus Christ. And he's bringing us up to a higher level. But I felt like my spirit, like the anointing here, was challenging us to go to a different place, to be able to accept that we can go beyond where we're at. Amen. And that we don't have to limit ourselves, because in anything else, I mean, when these athletes, they go to a different place, and all of a sudden they find themselves on a 10-meter, and all of a sudden they find themselves, they've been coached, they've been trained, they've been prepared, but there comes that time where they've got to launch out into the air. And you don't know if you're going to land right until you're in the air.
Come on.
But you got to get in the air. Years ago, there was a guy named Mark McCord, and Mark's actually over in Sweden now, and he's in over many different churches. And it's amazing, a little group of us were in Great Falls, South Carolina, and we're training, and Mark had no talent. I mean, he was not talented. He shouldn't have been in the sport. There's no question about it. And we always make fun of him, because here we're up on the 10-meter, and he's got no talent. He has a good, he's got about a 99% chance of annihilating himself. And he did. But he would get back up on that platform. And we were all sitting there, we're just laughing because he's going to do it again. But he knew that he was called to go to that place. He knew that he had these goals and these aspirations. And it didn't matter if he didn't have talent. But before he went, he would do this. He would go, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. And he would get this look on his face and he would launch himself out. And we'd watch him. And we'd come back up and go, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. And we're sitting there saying to ourselves, I don't know what God he's following, but he is taking a punishment. But it didn't stop him. He kept going and going. He got to his level and needed to achieve. He wanted to go to a national championship, and he was able to do that. But my point is this, is that that's exactly where we are sometimes. Yeah. You might be on that platform. You might be in a situation where you're doing something that you've never done before. And you might get into the air, and you might not land exactly right. It might be hardship, but there's development in that. There's development in getting back up and doing it again and again and again. Mm. The commitment that the Holy Spirit is requiring of us to stay is awesome. You know, so I've said this really, so deep was the commitment in Abraham. He had to be called twice before he slayed his son. The angel called Abraham, he was committed. He was committed, and the Lord said to him, he says, now I know that you will hold nothing back from me. And that's what the Holy Spirit is knocking on our door. What will we hold back, anything from him?
Come on.
He wants our whole life. Yes. He really, really does. He loves us so much. And when we were worshiping, I don't even know if this is scriptural, probably you know, but I was seeing the Lord dancing over us.
Absolutely.
And he was dancing, and I was like amazed in my spirit as I watched. I've never seen anything move like that. I didn't realize how athletically he was moving. I mean, he's the Lord. He can do anything he wants, but I was wondering if I was really seeing that.
You are.
And he was dancing over us.
Yeah, that's good.
You see, he loves us so much. You're the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, those trials, it says to count it all joy. When you engage and you come to these trials and you say, well, you know, I don't feel very joyful, Lord. This thing is not joyful. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the joy. And I've been in situations, I've been sharing this all over the world, actually. I've never seen so many people set free with this one little bit word. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But when you read in James, when it talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength, it says, knowing that the trial is producing and conforming you to his image. So when you enter into the trial, you can rejoice and get excited about it because you're being conformed into his image.
Yes, hallelujah.
And that releases the power of joy. When it says the joy of the Lord is strength, it is a power. And he wants to release that power within the body of Christ. It's something that just isn't natural of somebody that's joyful when they're going through a difficult time.
Amen.
You know, David, he had a heart after, it said the Lord said he had a heart after the Lord. He's got a heart right after me. And I was thinking about that one day, and it kind of came to me. It says, you know, that what God wanted is what David wanted. God wanted Jerusalem. David had two objectives: to take Jerusalem and to return the ark into its rightful place. What God wants in this day and this hour is to tell the world that he will no longer be ignored. He's returning. He's returning fast. And he is preparing the body of Christ. It says, she had made herself ready.
Mm.
Expanding ourselves and beginning to welcome the Holy Spirit in a dimension in our life that we never experienced before. I mean, Philip was translated from one place to another. I mean, could we be translated? Could you wake up tomorrow and find yourself in China, in Guangzhou? Talking to somebody else and you don't even speak the language? We have limited ourselves because, you know, being born again is a miracle, but we have to start to rise up to that next level, to the place where we can receive everything and every gift, as Danny was saying, from the Lord himself, that we might be conformed into his image. That when we're committed to his mission, instead of building churches, we have to be committed to the mission of the church. And that's why he sent the 70 out. And when they came back, they were amazed at what God did. Well, you're going to be sent out tonight. You're going to leave here tonight. What are you going to do? How much of a commitment? How much? And I have to ask myself, what am I holding back? I admire Abraham. I admire what he did. And I say to myself, I said, if I have a son, could I hold back the very precious things in my life? Could I hold them back if I give them to the Lord? That's deep commitment. She made herself ready.
Yeah.
She committed to the way.
She committed
to her spouse. She made herself ready by receiving and accepting everything that God has provided for us. He's conforming us into his image. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is within all of us. We just have to learn to step off that pile.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see yourself down? Some of you said, man, I'm afraid of heights. I don't know if I could do that. But you got to get up there. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. But when you can say, I can do all things in Christ Jesus, you can launch yourself into a place that you have never, ever been before. And he will meet you there.
Amen.
It says in the scripture that without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. I mean, think about that. It's impossible to please him without faith. What are you confronted with now that requires faith? That is the trial. That's the place where you've got to step into and allow him to become the Lion of Judah in your life and to conform you. Because when you're in war, as we all are, and people go around and command the angels to this, command the, you know what? I said, Lord, I ask you to commission the angels to do this and that. I think maybe I'm not there. Maybe I need to be stretched. But, you know, there's a process. There's an order in God.
Absolutely.
But you know what? When you get to that place like Elijah did, and he took his servant and said, you know, hey, the servant woke up one day and they were surrounded by an army because Elisha was telling what was going on in the king's chamber in his bedroom. I mean, can you imagine dealing with somebody that knows what's going on in somebody else's bedroom? And every time Israel was going to be attacked, he told them where they were going to be. And so they couldn't successfully say, we're going to get that prophet. We're going to surround him. We're going to get him. And his servant woke up one day and said, hey, we're surrounded. We're surrounded by an army. And Elisha said, hey, there's more with us than there are with them. He opened up his eyes. He said, Lord, open up his eyes. But then he prayed. He said, Lord, I pray that you strike them with blindness. There's an offensive move of God that's coming, going to come through the church, but it's going to be the mission of the church. And it's going to be those that understand the order of the Holy Spirit, because there is definitely an order. And I believe that he wants to put weapons in our hand. But man, we have to develop that relationship. Because only in the place, the secret place like David talked about, only in that place are we going to find out who we really are, because that's where your identity is. It is hidden in him. And you've got to go to the place of that cave where you can be alone with this view of the Holy Spirit. Talk to him every day. And I know you do. I look around and all I see is a bunch of ministers in here. That's all I see. I can't see anything else. I see potential. I see an army that needs to take place in Chapin. And, you know, of all the places that we could end up, is Chapin. Has anything good came out of Chapin? Has anything coming good out of Nazareth? That's what people say. Thank God you're out here in Chapin. That's a wonderful place. There's an army. There's Sadie's Hope and all these other places where all these, God has raised up the sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You come through fire, haven't you? And you got out on the other side. Amen. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. You know, my brother back there, you're like this. Like, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Amen. I know it's boring, but you know what? I'm going to wake up back there. I want to encourage you. God has got his all in his hands. You know, it's a breakthrough that's coming into your life. You know, you're pounding on the wall. You've heard the word of the Lord. You know God has spoken to you, but now you're walking it out, and that wall's right there, but you won't back down because God has hardened you to difficulties. He's caused you to be able to take it because you are in that cave. But just as David had a call, and just as David was going to go forward because he was anointed as king, he said he was so fed up with the Saul system. And so are you. And you said to yourself, man, the church needs to be completely changed. I see you frustrated. I see you want to plow things up. Well, brother, go ahead and do it. Amen. God has given you the okay. It's okay to go plow up because you know what? It's his church. That's a hard thing for so many of these leaders to say. It's not their church. It's his church. Yes. And you understand that. And that pastoral anointing that's in your life is going to be enhanced. You know, David, the place of doing was not just a place. It was a place of development. But it was a place where David was able to bring people together and unite them. There's a uniting word within your heart. There's a uniting word that's going to come out of your mouth. And you're going to bring people together, one after another. God has changed your language, even your tongues over a period of years. But now is the time of focus. Now is the time to release the power of God that's inside of you to not just complete the mission, but to bring others around you, because you care more about their development than even yourself. That's why you're frustrated, because you care. If you didn't, you wouldn't be frustrated if you didn't care. But God has opened up the door to you tonight. You're going to walk out of here knowing that the call down is on your life, but God has activated it. Amen? And you're going to...
sister right next to us, and she's going like that. So it's a lot easier to minister when you got somebody next to you going, yeah, that's it, exactly. Tell him again, yes, yes. And tell him to make sure that he puts the TV control where I can find it. So put that TV control where she can find it. And it's upsetting. Amen. God is so good. I want to give you a word of encouragement too. Amen. God is so good. I see God, the angels of God being released into your family. I see loss and confusion and things like that that need to be brought back into order. There's a healing. But the word of wisdom God has placed in your mouth tonight, you're going to walk out here with the gift of the word of wisdom. And that word is going to go out because people who would not listen to you are walking in a, what I call, Holy Spirit walls because your prayers have been heard. You know, the shepherd's crook, you know, it goes out and pulls people in. I was in pools all the time. We have this long little rod and we could take and just pull people back in. God has given you that ministry to go after the lost sheep. But he's going to start in your own family. You're going to see a revival take place. And one person that's even in anger, who's just totally twisted their minds, God is going to heal them by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. With the voice of the commission of the angels. I'm not taking too much authority, am I?
You're good.
Okay. Amen. You commission the angels to go and to recover that was lost. Amen.
Amen.
See, he's heard your prayers. He loves you so much. Amen. God is so good. The healing ministry that you've sought and asked and received, it's Jesus was moved with compassion, you know, and I see that you're maneuvering that way. And I just see the healing power of God coming through your vessel and people being restored because you're being afraid. Amen. That's the whole trial, the whole test, the whole development over these last few years of just fine-tune you. He said, I just don't care anymore. I'm going to do what God tells me to say, and I'm going to say it less than. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just deliver that word, sister. That is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Amen. There's somebody in the back there. Who is that? There you go. Guy in the back there. Amen. That was so good. Yeah, you got a good reason to be happy. I see the blessings of God will come upon you and overtaking you, you know? You guys, you're going to have problems because you're going to have such an abundance, it's going to cause you problems. You know, it's like the guy that starts a business and it grows real fast, and they don't know how to deal with it because it's just the abundance. I see the abundance of God coming on your lives, brother. I really do. And I see you just being such a giver. And you know what? It's this, we talk about standards, and you're not one, you know, you have standards in your life, and you want other people to walk in those standards too. And it frustrates you when they don't walk in those standards. And it's like you're a manager. I don't know what it is to you, but I see you as an overseer. And I see you directing like a general would direct. And God is going to use you that way, continues that way. But in the kingdom of God, there's a gift called the gift of discerning of spirits. And that is going to be unlocked in your ministry because what you're involved in, you've got to have information of what's really going on. And God's going to give you that information. As you go down to your knees, he's going to stick it right directly into your heart. And you're going to move in what's called the words of knowledge. And those things are going to really be handy for you because it's going to cause growth. Where things are stagnated, where things are just kind of held in bondage, God's going to give you a word of knowledge that's going to break it forth. One after another, I see people actually just being torn in their minds because of the wisdom that you've got is so specific. They're going to, where in the world, how did you know that? And they're just going to start to cry and they're going to give their lives to God because you were obedient and delivered those goods. And if you look through your life, you were trained even as a young man. You were trained to be where you are right now. And God has blessed you. You know, it says that the blessings of God will come upon us and overtake us. I mean, the blessings of God are overtaking you. It's like you have to picture yourself and you thank the Lord every day. Your heart is just transformed. So when you're worshiping, as my brother was sharing, you can move into different dimensions because you love him so much. You love him so much that you can't even express with the words in your mouth or even in your mind. You can't describe what's inside you. That's what Jesus said. Those that worship me in spirit and in truth. Your spirit being, and the truth is you so love it that you're communicating something that can't even be uttered in this realm. That's coming in contact. That's that place of the doom. It's that place, that secret place that, you know, David talked about. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. There used to be a song like that we used to sing years ago. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. I'm not going to sing it. That's not my gift. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Do you have a daughter? Do you have a daughter?
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Is the granddaughter here?
No, she's not here.
No, is she not here? Okay. What's her name?
Courtney.
Courtney. Lord, we just lift up Courtney tonight. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're just blessing me, yes. Courtney. And Jesus, I know she's little, but Courtney needs to be blessed. Lord, we just release a blessing on her life right now, God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that in Psalm 91, it's he dwells in sin. She is under the protection of the Almighty. We just release your protection upon her life. In Jesus' name. Yes. Mm. Amen. The secret place of the Most High God. You know how to get there. I turn the shower on in the morning. That's how I get there every day. His mercies are renewed every morning. That's what I think about. I just need some more mercy today. Amen. I just want to get through a day. You know, when you get up in the morning, you get that clean slate. So you don't have to sit there and think, well, you know, I didn't make it yesterday. You know, I failed yesterday. But you can wake up the next morning and have a completely clean slate. Mm. Relationships. Some of you have been just bound up by certain things that are happening in families and relationships. And you're crying out to God, says, God, I don't understand why this is happening. How can I work this thing out? How can I bring back unity? How can I bring this one in? You need a clean slate. You need to get in the shower in the morning and say, Lord, I need a clean slate. The reason why you need a clean slate is your mind has just been hounded on trying to figure it out. And then blaming yourself and say, I could have done this different or that different. You need a clean slate. Because when you have a clean slate and the grace of God saturates your mind, the information that you need to be able to repair the problem will come to you through impartation. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I always try to figure things out. I'm not one, I don't like to leave things hanging. I like to figure it out, and I got to take care of it. And, you know, it gets me all agitated. And then Kara has to pull my wife over there. She has to pull me back and says, you know, either trust God or you don't trust God.
Amen.
That's what you said to me the other day. And I'm like, don't tell me that. I know that. But she was right. And I sat there, when she said that to me, remember saying that to me? When she said that to me, I was like, my first reaction was, oh, what a joy. No, of course I'm going to trust in God. Can't you tell? God does not move by emotion.
That's right.
He doesn't move by emotion. And when I was a younger man and I was in the choir, I was in the choir. I had the robe.
So you do have a voice.
Yes, I had a voice. I was a soprano back then. I'm in the choir, and we lined up as we walked into the Presbyterian church, and we sat there in line, you know, and everybody was seated, and then the choir comes in and sits down. I'm sitting there waiting in line, and there's the bookshelf right there. I look over, there's a book there that says, you can't count God.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know what it meant then. I didn't know now. You know, you're sitting there and you're asking the Lord, but God, would you just move on my behalf? Hey, I'm in the cave. Don't you know I'm moving? And you sit down there and you're sitting and you're crying and you do this and that and he just speaks to you. Have you done yet?
Yeah.
Trying to calm, I could move him if I put up emotions and I could just, you know, I mean, there's something that the Holy Spirit just brings reality to us at times.
Mm.
He's moved by faith.
Yes.
And you might be in the cave. You might have been hurt. You might be in the woodshed sometimes. But you know what? At the end of the day, he's conforming you in his image.
Hallelujah.
And you're going to get to the place that he wants you to be.
Amen.
Saints, we're in the end of the end of days. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if it comes tonight, it can come at any time. I'm anticipating it. That's what we've been believing for here. That Acts experience, where that sound was heard, the wind came in, and it wasn't just heard in the upper room, it was heard on the outside. when the Holy Spirit came and just filled this atmosphere and this planet up. And we're going to see a move of God like we've never seen before.
Oh,
it's going to come through you.
Yes.
Amen.
It's not going to come through tradition. It's not going to come through crying. It's going to come through a heart that is seeking after Him that won't hold anything back from Him. And that's what your cry is. You're crying out for perfection. And maybe you don't even, maybe you can't identify what it is that you're crying out for. But the Holy Spirit talks about the Holy Spirit has groanings and utterances that are too deep for even our own language. And this is what's erupting inside of the body of Christ right now, all over this planet. And we're a part of it. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. God is so good.
Yes, Lord.
My brother, as I sit there and look at you, you know, externally I look at you. Strong. In control. Know who you are. Got everything laid out. Got the plan. Amen. Plans, purposes, and pursuits. That's what I hear in my spirit. God's giving you a plan. He's giving you a purpose. Now He's opening up the door for a pursuit. And a door of opportunity is going to come open to you. You know, when we work a job and we do this and we do that and we report to a person and they evaluate us and they get that evaluation and, you know, and they check off the box, you're doing this, this, and this. You know, but it's God that observes you. It's God that's going to give you the assessment. And that's where the promotion comes from. I see a promotion in your life, and I see a promotion in the Spirit. Where all of a sudden, you hear the Holy Spirit in a way that you've never heard Him before. It's like He's opened up your ear. And He's opened up your ear because you're able to identify how He's training you. You see, when you know how God is training you, you wake up in the morning and you know that, boy, He's training me in patience. And you get on the highway. And that's your test. And they cut in front of you. Maybe you got over there and you didn't see the person there, and you get back in your lane and they come by and they give you a signal. And you say, thank you, Jesus. Bless that person. Amen. And they're waiting for you. You get on that high, they're going to be waiting for you. But that's it. When you know how God is training you, and that person cuts you off, and you sit there and that little voice comes, and you just bless him, and you bless him. Now you're working with the Holy Spirit. And what's happening is He's fine-tuning your ear. That's why we need to know how God is training us. I like to ask pastors that a lot. How God has God trained you? Well, yeah, I've got to make sure that, you know, got a worship leader, and I've got to make sure that we've got the kids' program going and the men's program going, and we got to make sure that we got heat and new chairs and, you know, all that stuff. How God is training you. You see, you should know that. You should be able to give an answer of how God is training you. And when you know it, when you hear it, you got to write it down and you got to stick it on your mirror. That's what mine is. I have to look at it because if I don't, I forget. Now, I can't really forget because when I get into that trial and that situation, I realize I'm being hammered because I forgot what He was training me on. But when you know how He's training you, you've got to put it on that mirror so you know what's going on. Amen. I'm going to give you a word of encouragement. I said, John, thank you for writing notes. It makes me feel good about myself. And I need to encourage you. That's very profound. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. But you'd like to put an exclamation point, a little star, like I do? You do, huh? I can't see it. I'm just a... Anyway, I just want to... Oh, wow. I just want to encourage you. Amen. Can I encourage you? Can you encourage me? Amen. That was so good. Amen. And you're happy. And there's so many things I can be happy about, too, but yet you're happy. How do you do it? How do you rise above that? Amen? And the enemy is trying to attack you. And it's like I see him breathing and hearing more like that. And then it's like the Holy Spirit's teaching you how to be flexible. That's a good lesson because you're going, can you bend this way? Can you bend that way? And I was like, why in the world are things coming at me from seven different angles? And that's what you confront. I mean, literally, the enemy is trying to hit you this way, but the Lord is training you to dodge and to duck. It's like, it's almost like a boxer, man. They slip and duck and hit. But the Lord is going to teach you to punch.
Mm.
Amen? It's like I see you sitting back and you're trying to figure out what to do. And I see the Holy Spirit just coming in and teaching you how to punch back at the enemy. Amen? Where you're successful. And the way you're going to punch back is you're going to say, that is not my thought. That's not my thought, but that is not my thought. Not every thought that is hitting you is your thought. Their thoughts are coming at you, they're masking themselves as your thought because they're trying to convince you that that's your thought. The reason why I know is because I've gone around in a training circle. Amen? You know, if we listen to the enemy sometimes, we'll think we're crazy. Or we'll think we're, this or we're that. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to change the way you see yourself. And it's happened over a process or a period of time. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are set free from that demonic oppression that's come against you, sister. And you know what I'm talking about. But God, you've prayed for it. And God says, I'm breaking it off tonight. Now you're going to be set to release. And that ministry of encouragement, that wonderful counselor, that Prince of Peace that resides inside of you, has moved through you so many times and set so many people free, is now going to flow through you like a mighty river. Because the enemy has come against you, not because you're being bad, but because you're making good. You're making progress. And you're evaluating yourself, and God is taking it. I am your mirror, says the Lord. I am the one that's going to, you're going to reflect that. It's going to be so much better. You know, I had athletes, and they come in, and I'd sit there and say, hey, that was really good. That was a good dive you just did. That was great. And they go in and look at the videotape, and they go, they'd see what was wrong. And then they'd look at me. What are you talking about? I'm not any better. And they wouldn't listen to me. And I had to root out that self-analyzation so they could see, and I could say, let me be your man. If I say it's good, it's good. Amen? And God says, you're good. And he's going to pull you right. Remember what the scriptures talk about? The glory, the reflected glory of God. Isaiah said that it would come upon us, and people would see it on us. And they're going to see it on you because your heart is right before the Lord. You love God. And my sister, you're one that's moved with compassion as well. And the enemy has fought you so hard because that counselor that's inside of you, it needs to come out. You've been faithful to deliver the word of the Lord over years. Years you have helped people. They come to you and they tell you their problems. And you keep it to yourself too. I drive people crazy sometimes because if somebody says they want to keep it in confidence, that's what I do. Oh, come on, you can tell me. I don't know. Because if I say it, they won't trust me. And so the Lord is really, really uses you in that area. So I just want to encourage you. Amen? Mm-hmm. God is so good. Now, I think, I don't know what you do for a living, but I think you're going to be in transition. That's all I've got to say. I see transition coming into your life. It may not look like a promotion, but it actually is. You know, sometimes God repositions us so that, we can enter into what our giftings are because he's gifted you in such a way that he puts you in positions where you can be the most effective. And that's why I realized, God made me a coach. And so, now I'm retired, but I'm not really because I'm still coaching. Amen? And that's why the transition has to take place, because there's more people that need to be touched in your ministry. It's like Isaiah, he's sitting there preaching to the Jews and preaching to the Jews, and God says, hey, this is too light with them. I'm going to say to the Gentiles. I mean, I was in mind, had to be a mind load for Isaiah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I've been doing this for years, and now you're saying, go to them? I just want to encourage you, God, this transition is going to be a wonderful thing in your life. And that's going to be, there's a weight that's just going to lift off. I'm sorry, it's a long prophecy. I'd go too long there.
It's good.
I keep looking back.
I know her, so that's good.
Oh, okay. That helps. Amen. Well, I'm going to hit the guy next to her. Is that okay?
Yeah, better. You better. He'll feel jealous all night.
I'm going to do one more. I'm going to turn it back.
Whatever.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to say now. Amen. And because of it, I want to give you a word of encouragement. The strength of the Lord is what you draw your strength from. Amen? It's not going to be from what's around you, though.
Because it, you know, it says that everything is going to be shaken, it can be shaken, and the thing that can't be shaken is what the Lord provides. So there's been a real rumbling and a real shaking that's been going on around you. And it's like everything in this world is subject to change. You know, I can change. Look, I can do this. Is that pressing? And I can do this. Because it's subject to change. But the things in God, the things in the kingdom of God, are all absolute. They're all eternal. And the thing that the Holy Spirit is teaching you, that I want you to understand, that the things around you are temporary. They're not permanent. And they're subject to change. And out of your own mouth, you're going to speak and you're going to see things change, because the thing that's going to be in your mouth is the word of the Lord. When the word of the Lord comes through, it's like if it doesn't return to him void, when it even comes through us. And that's what God has got. He's got you the place where you've got your ear right down on his chest, and you hear him, and then you're going to speak his word, and you're going to see things that are moving around you. They're going to be changed. They're going to get out of the way, because they're nothing but obstacles. And you know this to be true, because I want to tell you something, brother. That word, that prophetic word that God has placed in your heart. I don't know if you're a prophet. I don't know what you are. Okay? God hasn't shown me that. But I see a prophetic mantle on you. And I see the words of knowledge flowing through you like a river. You've been hesitant to give them at times because there's certain settings that you want to feel comfortable. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. When you start feeling that heart going 100 miles an hour, and I can tell you, I felt it. I'll never forget. I'm sitting there just going 100 miles an hour from this little bitty church, and this pastor, Jim Siemens, up there. And he's sitting there. He wants to close the service out, and he can't do it. He goes, whoever's supposed to speak in tongues right now, please do so I can stop this service. And then I was afraid no one would hear the interpretation. I was also afraid of how it was going to sound. And I also, if I don't say this, I'm going to explode. So when that heart starts to flutter, don't get to that point. And just let it go. Let it go. That's my time to stop. That's my
stop. Okay. Should I use this one?
Yeah.
Do you want this one? All right. Doesn't matter to me. If you want to sit in a real chair, Toby, you're good. You can sit in a real chair. Patty, what you got?
Huh?
What you got?
She's got something.
I know she does.
Yep.
What you got? Where's that mic?
I have a word for Todd and Terry.
Well, you better give it. I just saw that all over you, so. Is that on?
Is it on?
It is.
Is it on?
It is now.
Perfect pitch. That's what I'm bringing you to, both of you. Perfect pitch in your marriage. Perfect pitch. You're not going to be flat. You're not going to be whatever the other word is. You're going to be perfect pitch.
Amen.
I know what you're walking through, the Lord says. Don't worry. I have avenues to make a way. I have a way to bring you out. I have a way to bring you through. But God says, I'm bringing you through. It might seem hard, and you might think, what in the world is happening? What's going on? God says, I know it all. I know it all. Don't worry. Give it to me. And I feel like, I know you are givers, but you need to give a seed somewhere. You need to seek something out, because God's going to bless you back. Because it looks like, looks like things are kind of failing, Lord. I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's got his hand on me. He is going to bring me through, all the way through. And the blessings of the Lord makes rich. And he's bringing his blessings upon you. You just have to go through this tough place right now. But he's bringing you through. Bringing you through. And you need to keep your eyes on him. Don't keep your eyes on business. Don't keep your eyes on finance. Keep your eyes on him. He's
been here
for you.
Amen. There you go. You can give that to him.
Huh?
Whatever. He'll take it.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Jesus.
Thanks, Danny.
Of course. You know, there's something when the Holy Spirit's moving, you got to get out of the way. Sometimes we want to get in the way because we want to be the thing. And the Lord says, you're not the thing, I'm the thing. And so we always move in that direction. We always move towards what's he saying? What's he doing? Todd messed my whole message up tonight. I had it all planned. But he stirred another one that God's been speaking to me. I do want to tell you, I do have a few books here. That's my last one and the previous one. Just to let you know, the last one's called Faith. And I literally saw the cover to that 4 years ago. People are like, how long does it take you to write a book? I said, well, that one was probably the longest. Because the Lord showed that to me 4 years ago. I literally have a picture of the cover because the Lord showed it to me 4 years ago. And then when he began asking me what to do, I didn't like his response. When he said, you're going to write Faith from a very different perspective, I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I want you to use Hebrews 11:39. And when I went to Hebrews 11:39, I was not impressed. But it says, these all, let me read that exactly, just to so you know I'm not trying to deceive you at all. I wasn't happy. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what was promised. I didn't like that. And he says, you're going to write a book that's going to cause Pentecostals, charismatics to backpedal in ways you can't imagine. He told me it would be a very important book. And because of that, because there is a theological understanding of faith that is so, you use the term, Todd, there are certain levels of where God wants you. And some people are operating under a rote memory, do this, say this, speak this, whatever, and it'll happen. And if it doesn't, where do you go? Where do you go when everything you've been taught is absolutely inadequate? Where do you go? Where does God let you walk in faith? And even though some areas of your life are full of faith, but anyways, I want to encourage, I literally brought it for these meetings here. I'm going to some other places, but I don't think I don't want to really take any more books with me. I'm kind of done, but did I give you one?
I think I got
that. Okay, all right. So I'm going to share something with you very interesting. Jesus said this. It's a perspective we have to have in order to understand what he's doing with us. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 9, is that right, or 10? Is this 10? It's 9. Matthew 9, verse 37, he says this, I want to take something off of you. I lived here in South Carolina for many years, Karen and I. And Karen, did you have something? Okay. I lived here in South Carolina for many years, and North Carolina, the South. It's where you go, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I go to church, whatever. It's a very common thing. And so it's a very religious atmosphere. People think of religious atmospheres as people going to church. No, a religious atmosphere is where the very presence of God is absent from a person's life, and they can absolutely cause themselves to look good in front of whatever environment they want to be. That's a religious spirit. That they're not soft on the inside, that they can be really nice on the outside, but inside they're full of dead man's bones, is what Jesus said. That's a religious spirit. And so there's something that often happens when we go to certain areas. When we moved to New England, people began saying, do you understand in New England I mean, there's like witches and whole full-on covens, and they're after all kinds of witches. They have a festival every year in Salem, Massachusetts, and it's all about witchcraft and some of the largest witch. And they would say this to me. They go, it's hard. And I said, are you joking? I said, I've been plowing concrete in Colombia. And I go to this verse that is so important for us. Because you have to understand in everything, if you don't understand this part, you're not going to approach it right. You're going to approach everything, it's difficult. We're in this hard call. And God has placed us here. What's going to happen with us? How are we going to do this? And people are constantly strategizing and never doing. You got to go beyond the strategy and go, let's just go do it. Because Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. What did he say? The harvest is what? Some of your versions say, ripe. Did you know that? Did you know there's not a place on the earth that is hard to Jesus? And you got to dump that sucker out of your head. Because until you do that, you're not going to do anything. You're going to feel like, well, it's the atmosphere. It's what I'm experiencing. You know, I'm in a religious thing. This is happening. But you begin realizing, wait a second, the harvest is ripe, is what Jesus said. If the harvest is ripe, then that means I can go pick some fruit. And I promise you that if you will begin picking the fruit, not talking about it, but picking it, all of a sudden you're going to have a harvest. We were in a meeting just a few weeks ago up in Massachusetts, and they said, could all the pastors and ministries come forward? My gosh, the whole room went forward. And I'm looking, ain't no way. There's no way they're leaders. You can just look behind a person's life, find out if they're a leader or not. Did you know that? Do you know you can look behind yourself? It's okay. And go, Father, I want there to be fruit. I want there to be evidence. You have selected me. You chose me, John 15, to bear fruit, much fruit, fruit that will remain. Our lives are to be characterized by fruit, not gifts. I was going to talk to you about gifts today, but I'm not. I'll maybe tomorrow. There's something I want to share about gifts. But tonight I want to talk about the major question I've been asked most recently. And it comes, it all stems from a word that happened on February 14th, 2014, Valentine's Day 2014. That morning, a prophetic father of mine passed away at 6:22. When he passed away, I found out a couple hours later, I woke up at exactly that time and I noticed it on the clock. It was 6:22. And I don't always notice the clock, but that morning I did. And I went, wow. And as soon as I realized, I just said, what happened? And I've learned that there are things that happen when you begin looking for what God is doing, and you go, God, show me what's going on. And the imagery and the things that happen are very important. They're not just out there. Immediately, I saw a catcher's mitt, and the catcher was holding it, but it was thicker than anything I'd ever seen. It was massive. And I went, wow, that's a big mitt. And all of a sudden, this ball came, and it was faster than any ball I'd ever seen. And I knew why the mitt had to be like that. And then I saw it again, and I saw it again, I saw it again, I saw it again. But on each other occasion, people were getting hit. I mean, some of them were getting hit in the hip, some in the head, and it was wiping them out. They were out. And I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, it's coming hard and fast. And I knew what was about to happen. We are in a moment right now in this nation, but let me just tell you, globally, of what's the hard and fast. You're going to watch things happen at a faster rate than you've ever noticed. But I promise you, there's going to be difficulty that will come, and some of that difficulty is coming to believers. And if you're not prepared for it, you will, you're going to scream bloody murder. God, get the devil off of me. And but the reality is that what's coming is good, super good. And what happened was, as I'm going through this and I'm watching this, I'm looking at those who God hit, and I'm like, Lord, what? And he said, I said, Lord, you're a God of mercy. You're a God who doesn't hold things against us. If somebody gets taken out, you restore them. I'll never forget what he said. It's one of the most difficult words. I'm going to just tell you for the sake of time. But he said to me, he said, never forget about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Some had prepared themselves. But the reality is that some don't prepare themselves. And the issue is oil. The issue when it comes to preparation is oil. Oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Am I wrong? No, I'm right. I know I'm right. Don't worry. I'm not saying that I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm right on that one. I want you to go to 2 Kings, if you will. Chapter, I just lost it. Lord. Sorry. There it is. So that passage is actually in Matthew 25. But I want you to go to 2 Kings chapter 4. And actually, there were some things the Lord even spoke to me tonight about this whole passage. It's an incredible passage. I love the Old Testament. I love the New. I love it all. I like it cover to cover. I even like the references and all that stuff. I think it's just fun. And I'm having the hardest time finding it in my Bible right now. Man. Yeah. I was way forward.
Page 427.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. 2 Kings 4. We read this story. It's an incredible story. And it's something that the widow's olive oil, if you have a title on yours. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." And Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" The first process when people are saying, "How do I get oil?" If five were wise and had oil, they were moving, they experienced, they were overwhelmed, they were flooded, they were greasy with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? That's what God's desire is for you. He doesn't want you to be all perfect. He wants you to get messed up by his presence. He wants you to be overwhelmed. Absolutely, you'll become emotional in his presence. Absolutely. Now, for some of you going, "I'm not emotional." I promise you, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you'll get emotional. That might be a sign for you, like, "Man, I don't think I got nothing. Somebody prayed for me. They said I got it." And I'm not talking about somebody coming up to you and going, "Say la, 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 la." When the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit comes on you, it will come with power.
That's right.
There is an evidence it's him. And a lot of us grew up without knowing that facet. In my, when I was 17 years old, I went through a very conservative revival as a young person. And I began ministering on the streets, and hundreds of people came to know the Lord on the streets of Philadelphia. Hundreds. It was a powerful time. And later on, I hadn't spoken in tongues. I hadn't prophesied. I hadn't done any of that. But I knew who to go to. I literally would walk from one person to another person to another person. And later on, the Lord would show me. He said, well, he said, you didn't have that, but he said, you had me. I did something with you. But I knew there was more. I always knew there was more. In fact, even tonight, I know there's more. I know that I am not satisfied with what I have. It's not indicative to me of even the level of the apostles. And I think the apostles were a pilot project. I do. I believe that things are intended to increase, not remain the same or go down. I think that there should be great power on our lives because the Holy Spirit is in our lives. God Almighty is in you. That's crazy. And so I knew there was more. But I also knew, and that is the reality of the more. The more is, are you after God more? Are you after Him more? With worship, with his presence, with him undoing you, with him re-theologizing you. I cannot tell you how many things I've had to look at and go, well, I believe that, but I don't believe it anymore. I do not. Why? Because he was leading me from glory to glory to glory to glory. And he was going, dude, you can't handle this right now. I'm going to just teach you what you need to know right now. And some of it, you have to be open to me all the days of your life. You know, Karen and I, one of the things that God has done incredibly, wonderfully, he's provided for us. And when I say that, I don't mean he provides because we raise support. I don't mean that we have a church that gives us a salary. We have not been on a salary since 2003. And we moved here to Columbia because the Lord said, I want you to move by faith without hints. That's it. What does that mean? He says, I get to know your needs, nobody else does. When we got to New England, we were given a word, God is going to give you a house. We're like, come on. And I mean, housing up there at that point in time, it was 4 to 5 times as much as anything. And then God shows us a big house. And in fact, one of the major leaders said, it's a big house. I was like, no, we just take a little tiny one that we can afford. And when the Lord finally would move us into this house, we were leasing it first, and then we ended up buying it. But it was like, Lord, somebody was going to buy this house. And he said, would you want a relationship with me where I just pay it all off for you and you never trust me again? He said, I give you a house every month. I give you, do I dare tell you? I'll tell you. This past month, Karen, close your ears. This past month, our heating, you don't think I should say it?
No, I don't.
But I'll just put it this way. Our heating bill is bigger than most of your mortgages. It's insane. And we always go, we don't even question it. We don't even look. We don't worry. We don't even pray. I'm dead serious. I mean, maybe she does, but I don't. She's a lot more godly than me. But we don't, it just is there. We don't even know how, we don't know where, we have no idea. Now, why am I saying that? Because there's something about seeking the Holy Spirit, and you say, I want you. I don't know where you're coming from. You know the passage, John 3? Some of you know John 3:16. How many of you know John 3:16? About a quarter of you. Are you saved yet? No. You know, John 3, I know this might mess your theology up a little bit. You're like, oh, this is about salvation. Well, you got to go read the story. I mean, I always look at context whenever I read things. Nicodemus goes to Jesus and he goes, yo, I went to all the best schools, the best rabbis, and none of us can do the stuff you do. How do you do this stuff? He says, well, the wind blows where it wills, and you don't know where it's coming from, you don't know where it's going. So does everyone who moves by the Spirit. Now, most of you go, yeah, this is where we get saved. Well, actually, that's not even the context. The context is, how do you do this stuff? That's the context. He goes, dude, you got to be born again. Now, that's where we get the salvation. Born again. Yeah, you know what that means? It means your whole mind, your whole being, every part of you has to shift and change. You need a paradigm shift inside of you. You need to begin recognizing that what God wants you to do is think completely different. That's why Paul would write, and he says, listen, he said, the things I'm speaking to you about, they cannot be communicated in natural ways, by natural words. They're communicated by the Spirit. If you can only understand natural things, you haven't even progressed to the realm of the Spirit. And you're looking for intellectual understanding of Jesus, and nothing about Jesus was intellectual. Everything about Jesus was supernatural. Everything. He moved by the Spirit. He acted by the Spirit. He spoke by the Spirit. He wouldn't do anything unless he saw his Father doing it. He wouldn't say anything unless he heard his Father saying it. He was limiting himself 100% to responding to the Holy Spirit. And what do? We read further. Oh, God, no. Jesus says this about this. I love the word. I'm serious. But he says, you search the Scriptures to see if in them you'll find life. But you don't understand. It's not in here. It's in me. It's in him. And that relationship with God is way... This is the menu, guys. You're reading the menu and you're taking life from a menu. It's like the pictures that you, of a meal. And you're going, cool, I love it. That's what I want. I want that. And the Lord says, I want you to live it. I want you to act it. I want you to release the Spirit. Understand this. The early church had no Bible. No Bible. They didn't even have the Old Testament. They had to go to synagogue to go hear anything of even the Old Testament. They had no Bibles. But we have converted a whole generation to believe that somehow if you have the Bible, you've got the fullness of him. No, the fullness of him comes in power. And I promise you, this is the language of the Spirit. But you got to find life in him. The oil only comes from him. It only comes from relationship with him. If you do not have relationship with him, and I mean relationship. I mean communicating with him, talking to him, letting him talk to you, letting him move you daily. You know, many years ago, Karen and I were living in the Northeast Columbia. And it was a Sunday, and I was missing some piece for sound. And there was a Best Buy over there off Two Notch Road. And so I was... I just kind of heard, go get that part right now. I was like, and I heard from the Lord. It was the Lord. And I was like, Lord, they're closed today. He didn't answer me. He says, go get that part. So I go to Best Buy. Sure enough, they're closed. I said, I told you it was closed. You know, sometimes God's just looking for obedience.
That's right. That's good.
And I drive home and I realize my gas tank is pretty low, pretty empty. And so I pull in at that garage right there on Pharaoh and Hardscrabble, I think is right. And or one of those. No, not, it was Hardscrabble and something. Where everything's built up now. I can't remember the name of that road. Killian. And I pull in the gas station and I'm pumping my gas, and in drives a 450 pickup truck with dual tanks. Double wheels on the back. It was big. It had dual tanks. Did I say dual tanks? It had dual tanks. Dual tanks. And the guy goes to swipe his card into the thing, and it refuses him. And he swears. And he goes after another card, sticks it in. No, denied. And he's swearing, he's really mad. And I'm just pumping away nicely watching this whole thing happen across the island. You gotta notice things across the island. You gotta stop paying so much attention to your own gas tank. God might have something else for you. You may not wanna do this after I tell you what happened. And he says, put your card in there. I said, Lord, that's a big truck. How much gas does he want? He says, put your card in there. And I'm like, ew. I go over to the pump, I stick my card in, and it's approved. The guy had taken, by that time, he'd taken 20 bucks or 10 bucks, I can't remember, but into the cashier. So he's gone while I'm doing this. And, you know, basically just to get a little bit of gas. And he comes walking out of the building, and behind him is the cashier. And I look at the guy, I said, it works now. I said, I paid for you. He said, you paid for me? You don't even know me. I said, Jesus loves you, man. The cashier is waving his $10, $20 bill. He goes, hey, dude, he says, it worked. And he says, this guy paid for me. He don't even know me. The cashier looks at me and goes, you paid for him? You didn't even know him? I mean, it's a big conversation in it. And I said, Jesus loves you, man. And I said, when you left home, your wife told you she wouldn't even be there when she got home. She's ready to leave you. I said, well, if you ask Jesus to help you, it was all about the cashier. It was not even about the truck driver. And the guy kind of turns his face and he's crying. He says, you paid for him? And you don't even know him? And I got in my car and I left, and there were rumors that began that there was a fat angel that was buying people's gas. There's something about hearing God and just obeying, just being whatever, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go after it. This woman here, she goes, they're taking my sons. I got nothing. Listen, she has a loss just like the five foolish virgins would have a loss. A loss. And what happens? Here we go. This is so good. I want you to go find empty jars. Do you know what empty jars are? Empty jars are people who have been filled at one point, but they're not filled now. I want you to go find people, and in fact, in your own house, go find the things that have not been filled by the Spirit of God for a long time. I want you to go find them. I want you to find the empty stuff. And he says, and then I want you to bring that here, and I want you to begin pouring the good stuff, the only good stuff that you've got left. I want you to begin pouring it in. I want you to begin pouring and pour and pour and pour, and it will not stop. Until not only have you paid all the debts, but you will have stuff to spare. You know, there is such an importance. Filling people with the Holy Spirit is extremely important. If you are not filled with the Spirit, what does it mean to be filled? It means your life is not your own. It means you'll do anything, go anywhere, say whatever, because God is all over you, because he's taken captivity of everything that you are, everything you've believed. It's where you grow. It's where you learn. He loves you. And I felt like tonight, you know, as Todd was sharing about getting ready for Jesus, you want to be one of the five wise virgins. They alone, nobody else can fill your oil. Nobody can get your oil for you. It's not theirs to get for you. It's not your pastor's. It's not a prophet's. It's nobody else can get your oil for you. It's nobody else can go after God and say, God, I need oil. I want to be filled. I want you to speak to me. I will obey you. I want you to come. I want you to absolutely fill me in every area. I want every nook and cranny in my life. I'm giving it all to you. I'm going to empty myself, Lord. I want to be, I have so much empty stuff inside of me that I need you to fill. I need that, God. I need to be that individual that is more hungry after I've received a lot than before. Do you know if you're not hungry, you'll die? Did you know that? Do you know God has intended for you to always be hungry? That's why he's even going to have a feast in heaven. The hungry ones will sit around the table. I mean, well, he's not going to bring people who are full. Like, yeah, let's all eat. I'm full. I'm just stuffed. He has a banquet in heaven because he's looking for the hungry ones. He's looking for those who are desperate for God, who just say, you know what? I am not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with where I've been. I'm not satisfied where the church is. I'm not satisfied with what is going on. There's more. And let me give you one of the coolest things. When I said to you at the beginning and I talked to you about the fact that you are not, you don't need to look at the harvest as unattainable, but it's reachable. God doesn't use terms like first awakening, second awakening, third awakening. Only we do. God's after something totally different. I'll share it with you probably tomorrow. But revival has never not been. Awakening has never, never not been. There are people that have been responding to the gospel and at this time at a rate beyond anything that has ever happened in the earth. Way higher. God is moving in power. He might not be moving in your community, but that's because he's looking for your voice. Jesus would look at this group and he'd say, oh, it's plenty. We can do the greater Columbia area with this many. Easy, no sweat. Might even be able to do all of South Carolina. Because the Holy Spirit is all over you. He's in you. And he'll fill you. And as long as you say yes, see, that's the answer for all this stuff, you know that? It's one word. Yes. 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 I'll do it. Nobody else will do it? I'll do it. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. I'm looking at Ken Schomburger. He was one of my first assistant pastors. And when I planted a church here in 1984, five, something like that. And he saw some crazy stuff. We were crazy. We were in flip-flops, t-shirts, shorts, on a Sunday morning in South Carolina doing rock and roll music. Am I right? 100%. Do you know why? Nobody else would do it. Everybody wanted to stay within the stream, the main whatever. Keep it nice. Keep it cool. Keep it whatever. And the Lord's like, no, bust through. I want you to go after me. I want you to release something in this region that is different than anything that has ever been released. Can you dream outside the box? I'll say one more statement about the box, because actually a few years ago, the Lord, there was somebody who talked about, we are an out-of-the-box church. And I was like, whoa. And I said, Lord, I said, what do you think of that? He goes, you know, it's funny. I never considered a box. God has never put the church in a box. We're not about the box. We're about following the Lamb wherever he goes. Amen? He's good. He's super good. Wow. No. Lord, thank you. Thank you for igniting fires. Are you here with somebody? The guy in the back, are you here with somebody? Could you both stand up? Stand up. Yeah. Was he the one you were ministering to earlier?
Yes.
Okay, don't say anything. I can't remember anyways. You've wondered if you've delayed too long to do all that God's called you to do. You've questioned, like, I'm not sure now. We're a little older than we were when we first received a touch from the Lord in that regard, and where he spoke into our lives. And there have been all kinds of things that have happened over your lives. There's been some amazing things that came to break you, and it shook you. And when your heart stopped fibrillating, my sister, you were like, I'm not sure we're ready for any of this. But I'm telling you tonight that the Lord has his hand on you. And he says, if you will just say yes, he will open doors in front of you you cannot imagine. The Lord will not only have it with you, he said there will be a company of people with you in breaking through in some powerful things in this region. And it's one of those things on your life that God called you to, and all hell broke loose against you. There were things that hit you emotionally, things that hit you financially, things that just hit you and hit your family. But the Lord says, I am for you. And I will lead you way beyond this. And those things that you walk through are the areas God has given you authority to overcome in many people's lives. You will speak life where the enemy is speaking death. Absolutely. He loves you. He loves you. And the Lord says that there is a finality of healing that's coming to restore everything. And joy is going to be restored into your home like you cannot imagine. The Lord says that those who have walked away are going to walk back. And he said there's going to be restoration, restoration, restoration all over your household. I loose that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ken, I just want to give you a word to give it hope. Because the Lord, when I saw you, the Lord said, he says, I'm going to complete Hope's healing. There's going to be, that's physical, that there's going to be physical healing that God is going to release all over Hope's body. And I loose that right now, tonight, all over her, Father. We send your word to heal her tonight, Lord. We just release that all over Hope. There'll be a complete healing. Show. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The first place the Lord has always told me to go, he says, here's where I want you to go find them. He said, these are the first responders. And he said, they're going to be the ones that are going to see the amazing things of God initially. And he says, I want you to go find people in caves. People who quit. People who feel like they're past the time. I thought I was past the time with worship. Until a young kid came up to me. And he said, you know, he was 23. Young. But he comes up to me and he goes, you know, I remember he actually gave me a word, he had this recorded, and I didn't listen to it for 6 months because I thought it was a song. And when I finally listened to it, he said, you know, you used to come to New England, you'd always bring your guitar. And he said, the anointing of God would come. And he said, God wants you to know. He wants you. He said he'd already called prophets to New England, but this time he brought a psalmist
And he said, that's going to break through. And the next week, I was with Toby and some others. We were doing a conference, and I was gifted a guitar. And it was like the Lord saying, yeah, dude. I'm going, God, I'm getting old. He goes, yeah, why don't you do this till you're in front of me, because you'll never stop worshiping. From here to there. I thought, yeah, that's right. Let's just build it up, you know, all the way. Can you imagine worshiping here and then the next step you're in heaven worshiping and be like, come on. But that's, for some of you, God's placed a call on your life. And you think it's done. And the Lord says, are you joking? I haven't even begun. You talked about the revival that was going to be in your life. I'm telling you, the move of God that's about to come. Ralph and Patty is coming now. And the Lord showed you you'd be in the midst of it, not observing, not watching, not reporting, in it. In it. There are things that God has on our lives where He wants us to step into what God promised us years ago. He wants you to remember your future. Remember what it was God spoke to you. Who did He call you as a young one? Who did He call you? What did He say? All of those things are yes and amen. Yeah, I did know that Todd called you guys out. Yeah, it's yes and amen. It's astounding. It's where you realize, God, you did this. We didn't do this. We have no part to play in this. It's where God absolutely releases His anointing in powerful ways. There are things that God has over you guys. Blue shirt, orange. I think you're rust, whatever. Is that rust or orange? Whatever. Am I colorblind?
You're from Connecticut.
No way. Are you really from Connecticut? Like now? Oh, okay. You smart people. Rise up. Rise up. Rise to the occasion. Things that were poured in you. And you know, I mean, I obviously now I know this in the natural, this is not prophetic. But you being from that area, from New England, you know the heritage of awakening and revival there. You prayed for it for many years. The thing about revival is revival happens where we are. Everybody wants to stir up the old wells. If there's one thing you need to understand about wells, I'm telling this to some of you because you're stupid. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't call anybody stupid. But I've watched people and it's like, why are you doing that? They go to the old wells to try and redig the old wells. It happened one time in Scripture where Jacob would redig the wells of Abraham. One time. But actually, when you redig the wells, you need to understand the most guarded place in the world are the places where God has moved in the past. All hell doesn't want you there. But sometimes people go right after that because they think that's where they need to do it. No, it needs to happen where you are. God might begin the greatest revival ever right in your neighborhood. It could begin there. It doesn't matter. God's not conscious of geographical things other than Jerusalem and Israel. He's not conscious of geographical places on the earth. We might have an experience in a certain place and we'll go back to that place and it won't be the same. Why? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work like that. The Holy Spirit's in us. We carry Him. Your hunger will release His presence. That's why we had the big stuff happening years ago in Lakeland. It wasn't about a person. It was about the fact that tens of thousands of believers were together worshiping God. They're hungry. They want God. It was not about anybody. You have to understand that. Otherwise, you miss the point. now release what God's given you. I saw your home, actually. And yeah, I saw your home. Yeah. And the Lord says, he said, get ready for me to bring people into your home that you're going to begin ministering to, and you aren't even going to know how to begin. But the Lord says it's going to begin. And God is going to give you people. Initially, they're going to be people you're going to be discipling. But then from the discipling, he said, there are people who are going to get saved, that some of them are going to start bringing people. And you're just going to go, God, this is crazy. Most of the stuff's going to happen in your kitchen. Most of it. And the Lord just says there's going to be a release of the Holy Spirit all over you guys in the coming days. Don't give up. Don't retire. Don't. People who retire take trips, come home, and then they die. People who don't retire, let him who loves long life seek peace and pursue it.
Yes.
We carry the gospel of peace.
Yes.
That's what we carry.
Yes.
Wow. In the back. Yeah, you. I like your smile. Can you stand just for a second? Yeah. You got Jesus all over you, man. Yeah. You're going to feel this. Phew. Lord says that there's an evangelistic release on your life. That you're going to begin seeing people coming out of the Lord. People you never thought would come to the Lord. But he says you're going to open your mouth and like, you need Jesus, man. You know, get smart, get saved. There's just going to be a boldness that you're going to have with people, and the reality is they're going to respond. They're going to come to the Lord over and over and over. And he said, begin. Begin. It's in your heart. There's a fire inside of you. There's a fire inside of you. You can feel that right there. Yeah. There's also something all over your back. I feel like the Lord is pressing into you to push you forward. Nobody's ever pushed you forward. You've always been held back. It happened in school. It's happened in jobs. It happened with your family. It's happened in life. But Jesus touched you, man. And he's pushing you forward. He's saying you're never going to be held back again. There's going to be a release. I saw God blessing you in so many ways. So many ways. But the biggest blessing was going to be the fact that so many people are going to say, that dude led me to Jesus, man. I just release that all over you. Yeah. Yeah, he loves you so much. God's good. God's good. God's good. Yeah. Everybody open your hands just for a second. Lord, thank you that you're like hungry. Hungry, hungry, hungry people. I'm asking God that even now and tonight that you release hunger.
Yes.
Lord, that before we go to bed, we'll say, Jesus, I need dreams from you. I need visions from you. I need the encounter of the Holy Spirit with you. You know, sometimes God will move in dreams because we're unwilling to move in the daylight. And he's just like, well, we're going to break some protocol here and just like, you're going to have to listen to me. Did it with Mary, did it with Joseph, did it with Daniel, did it. God moves in powerful ways. But I lose that all over you. All over you. Wow. I have one more word. And then we can. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. It was me. I moved. There. Yeah, you. Hi. I saw the Lord going, suddenly, everything's about to change. Everything. The Lord is about to redeem your life from the pit. That there are things that have come that have been so harsh and hard that literally your stomach has lived in knots for a long time. But tonight we pull that off. And tonight I release on you an anointing from the Holy Spirit. I release that place in worship that is non-recoverable, where God will fill you and overwhelm you. I even see you writing things where God is going to anoint you to write and release beautiful, beautiful words to the Lord, beautiful stuff to the Lord. He's all about that inside of you. And the Lord says, do not hold back, because he said, I'm going to break this season tonight. It's a suddenly. I'm going to break the season you've been in, and I'm releasing you into a season of the Lord, a season where he is going to be ever present and ever speaking to you, that you're going to say, honestly, the Lord spoke to me. It was real. Changed my life. It's real. But he didn't just speak to you once. He's going to continue to speak to you and continue to speak to you. And the Lord says, I'm going to redeem your life from the pit. I mean, that's the word I got. I was like, wow, that's pretty rough. But that's what God is doing to you suddenly. And I just release that to you. Wow. Lord, I just ask for every person in this room, everyone, fill them, bless them, neutralize unbelief. How about that? Neutralize the religious spirit. Make us, we just don't like it. We're not going to be around it. We're not going to give ourselves to it. We're going to give ourselves to you, Jesus.